It's time for the Rink Rats. With your hosts, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Jesse Granger.
Rink Rats, we're back. I had some car trouble. It was really unfortunate. But I'm alive, so that's good, right? Ryan the Hockey Guy here alongside Jesse Granger. Jesse, how you doing?
I'm barely alive.
Barely alive. I see you've got your UNLV hockey jersey on.
Yeah, I went out to UNLV's home opener, and I'm in City National Arena every day, basically.
Right.
Always on the clock. Can't be a fan, have a few beers. So I did that, and then I made up for all those other days that I couldn't have a few beers.
Yeah.
Tried the Golden Knight Lager.
How was it?
Delicious. It was good. I mean, it wasn't the best beer I've ever had in my life, but sure. it was good.
Yeah, because... See, I've been to Mackenzie River, and I saw that beer, and I wanted it, but I was working, so I couldn't do it. However, I'm going to go as a fan at some point in time, probably to a UNLV game, and I'm going to get drunk.
Yeah, it was very cool, especially because, like, I went to a couple UNLV hockey games last year, and they were over at the Sobey Ice Center in the Fiesta, which is an old, tiny, dinky little place.
Right.
They had a couple fans out there, not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't feel like you were at a college hockey game.
Sure.
It felt like you were watching just like some rec league.
Right.
Last night.
Felt like a hockey
night
game.
Night and day difference. Yeah. City National Arena was completely full. I'm talking, they probably sold 200 or 300 more tickets than they should have sold.
Wow.
Like, they probably should have cut it off, but they just kept letting people in. The bleachers were not a single spot to sit. Mm-hmm. The stairs in between the bleachers were completely filled with people sitting on them.
Nice.
The railing at the top had people standing around it, and then every square inch of the boards that fans were allowed to stand, fans were standing all the way around the rink. You could not fit another person in there last night.
Where did you take the game in from?
I started up, because first we were up at Mackenzie's, so then we just walked right out, and there was a spot open on the railing, so I was watching the first period from the railing up above the stands, and then I went down and watched it from the boards in the corner. It was good. It was good. They didn't play great. They played all right. Colorado's really good. Colorado's like the number 11 team in the country, and they lost 3-0, but it was 1-0 headed into the third period, and then they got an empty net goal to make it 3-0, so it was a close game, but... Yeah, it was cool for more than anything, just UNLV hockey having that facility, having the atmosphere around it. Vegas might be showing that they're maybe a little more of a hockey town than we thought they were.
You know, and it's funny because Colorado and Vegas are now going to be linked because of all the ridiculousness of the team of the Rockies garbage. So I guess on the professional level, we hold the advantage there. But on the collegiate level, I guess Colorado's a little bit ahead of where we are.
Yeah, well, I mean... The Avalanche play in Denver, so they play in about as close to mountains as the Golden Knights do. Because Denver, that's where I'm from, and it's near mountains, but it's not in the mountains. Whereas Colorado Buffaloes and Boulder, they're in the mountains.
So like you see mountains, but you're not near mountains in Denver.
You're near them, but. Yeah, you're not. It's not like there's not like mountainsides like right next to the city of Denver. You can see them off in the distance, kind of like you can here in Vegas. You can see Mount Charleston from here,
right?
But you're not in the mountains. That's how it is in Denver. The difference is just flat land in Denver. Obviously, is like the altitude is it's way up there. So
what's the more ridiculous storyline surrounding the Vegas Golden Knights? Is it sign Jaromir Jagr or we're the team of the Rockies?
Oh, man. That's like the two things I hate the most.
Like, wait,
you just found the two things that piss me off more than anything else.
Like, what would you rather do, I guess? Would you rather sign Jagr or would you rather be the team of the Rockies? Or just be in this ridiculous debate that you're even potentially the team of the Rockies?
Man, Rockies.
Really?
I do not want Jaromir Jagr on this team.
That is how much we don't like Jaromir Jagr.
Love Jaromir Jagr, just not in a Golden Knights uniform.
Well, obviously, 30 other teams are passing on him as well. So is that weird to you that he hasn't found a job yet with anybody?
Yeah. I mean, it's not as weird as his pole dancing video that he posted on Instagram.
When was that? I missed that.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Look it up on your phone right now. Jaromir Jagr with a hockey stick.
Oh,
he's literally
dancing
like a stripper.
That's why he's not getting signed.
Because, and he's basically like saying, like, oh, you guys won't give me a job. I got to like work for some money. And he's doing pole dance. Jaromir Jagr is awesome.
No, I mean, he's a great, he's fun. He's a fun guy. Like, he's a hockey player that does have some personality, which is rare in these days. Like, we've been out at most of the practices. You've been out at more than I have because of, you know, different responsibilities, stuff like that. But we try to interview some of these guys. And while they give us stuff, while they do give us something, Nate Schmidt, outside of that, we get pretty much stock answers for everything else. And that's tough because we want a little bit of personality showing through, and we don't often get that. So maybe sign Jagr just for that?
I don't know if I agree with that, though. I think the Golden Knights have some good personalities. And maybe it's because I've never covered a professional team.
Mm-hmm.
I've always covered college and some high school sports, and obviously college kids are going to be a lot more careful with what they say than a professional athlete that's getting paid millions of dollars. So I found, just in my experience, that these guys are really just talkative. They'll kind of now there are certain things, injuries, stuff like that. Like, I've tried to get Reed Duke to tell me about his injury about 100 times, and he just won't. And I asked Turk the other day for an injury update on Reed Duke, and he goes, "You're going to have to talk to our media people." And I just look over and, like, Tosi's gone. So they're not telling us anything about the Reed Duke injury. They won't say upper body, lower body, no timetable, nothing. Yeah. He's been walking around in street clothes at City National every day. So it's not like he was going to make the team anyways.
Right.
He's clearly going to the Chicago Wolves.
Sure.
But just
sure.
Who knows? Like, I'd like to at least know, like, is he out for the season? Like,
yeah,
did he rupture his Achilles? Like, something? Like, give me something.
Well, he's not in any walking boots or anything.
No,
he
looks fine.
It's probably not lower body. It's probably upper body. But it just, I don't know. That's the weird thing about hockey is, like, just
always
let us know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not sitting here wondering, hey, is Reed Duke going to get into a preseason game? Probably not. So, okay, fine. He's going to the AHL. We get that. That's fine. What's his timetable?
Yeah.
Just let us know what that is. Now, big news yesterday. Not really big, but kind of expected. Nick Suzuki, Cody Glass, Nick Hag, as we'll call him now.
I'm going to call him the wrong name all season, too. It's so hard for me.
Hag is so bad, though.
Hag is bad, and I can't stop calling him Calvin Pickard, even though we've been told it's Picard.
No, it's not.
It's Picard.
Picard?
It's Picard.
Oh, no. Like, just before I go any further, and before I try to interview William Carrier, and I call him William Carrier, is it Carrier or Carrier?
I think it's Carrier.
Is he not from Quebec?
I don't know, man.
is he not French?
The thing is, these guys, most of them, have said, like, I don't care. Like, Pickard, we asked him, and he's like, either one.
Yeah.
Like, they're so used to being called, like, having their name mispronounced. Same with Hague.
Sure.
Hag, whatever. They're so used to it that it's like, whatever. Like, I don't think they really mind if you pronounce it one way or the other. But yeah, I've heard it's Picard, and we have confirmed it is Nick Hag, not Nick Hague.
Yeah, see, I had like a 10-minute, 15-minute conversation with Nick Hag, and I called him Nicholas Hague the entire time.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the interview, the only correction that he said is, "I, you know, you can call me Nick. Only my parents call me Nicholas." I'm like, "That's cool, no big deal." But he didn't correct me with Hag.
Yeah,
like,
he's probably just used to that.
That would have been the perfect time to do it. So, all right. So Nick Hag, Nick Suzuki, Cody Glass all return to their junior teams. Surprised?
Absolutely not. Which no one should be.
Mm-hmm.
I did a story basically explaining why on Las Vegas Sun, because after the first preseason game, Twitter was blowing up with Cody Glass is the number one center on this team.
Sure.
No, he's not. Calm down. And there are reasons for that, and it's contractual more than it is anything else. Is Cody Glass one of the 13 best forwards on this team right now? Yes. In my opinion, he is.
Absolutely.
Could he play in the NHL right now? Yes, I think he could. Even though he's still a little wiry, I think he absolutely could. But more than development-wise, because, yes, he does need to still play his last couple years in juniors, develop more. get his body stronger. When I talk to him, like, what is it? What's the main thing you need to do in juniors?
Right.
And he told me, get stronger. Keep filling my body out. Just get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the contractual thing is actually the more important
part of it. Yeah, and what you're alluding to is mainly something that Vegas fans can't really grasp at this point. You want, when you're in, when you're just going to crack the playoffs, you don't want your fundamental pieces coming off of their entry-level contract and due for a bigger contract. You want to prolong having to pay these guys big money for as long as you can.
Yeah.
And so if you work it out to the point where you get Cody Glass, Nick Suzuki, Eric Brandstrom, Nick Hag, Jake LeCision possibly into the lineup or into a lineup that is going to contend for a playoff spot, then you have a larger window to win in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for those that haven't read the story or for those that just aren't aware of the way entry-level contracts work in the NHL, because it's kind of complex. So it's similar to, I would compare it to like redshirting in college. So when a guy gets drafted, they sign a 3-year entry-level deal. That means in 3 years, it ends, unless they don't come to the NHL.
Right.
If they stay in juniors, those years, those next, so if Suzuki or Glass, whoever, stay 2 years in juniors, those 2 years don't count towards their 3-year entry level deal. It gets pushed back. It's called a slide, an entry level slide. It slides those 2 years. So then 2 years from now would start their 3-year entry level deal, which is only $925,000 a year, which is nothing. So in 3 years, 4 years, Suzuki and Glass could be on the top line for the Golden Knights,
right,
getting paid combined less than $2 million, which is amazing.
Exactly, which means if you do get close or if you get into the playoffs and then you need to look for a complimentary piece and if you need to pay for a veteran just to try to make a run at the Cup, you have that flexibility to do so because those guys are going to be cheap. Theoretically, you might be looking at your number one, number two, and top defenseman, or at least top pairing defenseman in Brandstrom, and maybe even your second pairing defenseman in Hag, making less than $4 million for 3 years.
Yeah, it's
when
great.
Your team is very good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the future that you have. You can't mortgage that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't worry about this year in order to and throw away 3 years, 3 through 6. You just can't do it.
And before they were sent home, we were talking to Gerard Gallant, and I think he kind of slipped up a little bit on it, because when I asked him about it, about sending these guys back to juniors, because I was writing that story, I wasn't asking him if they're going to send them back to juniors. We already know. I just want a quote from him on sending them back to juniors.
Sure,
and
exactly.
He says, "Oh, it's going to be a tough decision. We've got to weigh the future and the present and blah blah blah." But then he goes, "If a guy makes our lineup a little bit better, that's not enough."
Right.
Which I think that's like part of the reason like fans want someone like Jágr, or fans that are excited about Cody Glass. It's like, would it make the team a little bit better? Yes. But it hurts the team more in the long run.
Right.
So he kind of like showed his hand there, even though he was trying to conceal it. But it's these things, everything with the Golden Knights, you have to think about what it does for the next 3 years, not right now, because this team's not trying to win right now.
No, and they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be, which is funny because they need to tell the Twitter account that.
I have no comment on the Twitter account at the moment.
So are you surprised, though, that it happened now? Like, are you surprised that Suzuki and Glass and those guys didn't get maybe one or two more looks in the preseason before they were sent back?
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think they sent him home a little early, but that is probably partly just due to Turk wants to get these lines set.
Yeah.
And he wants to get these guys to play a couple games before they start facing live bullets. It's different for this team than it is for other teams.
Yeah.
And I think if Turk had it his way, they'd play more than, because he's said the last two games we're going to have our full lines, our full lineups. It's going to be basically the Golden Knights that you're going to see this year.
Yeah.
And I think he wants at least that, maybe more. And I think getting rid of the guys that are clearly not going to be here helps. But yeah, I mean, I would have liked to see Glass, especially Suzuki and Glass, stay a little bit longer, just to have a couple more preseason games under their belt. Anything helps. But no, I think the newness of all the players and not having played together is probably why they were sent home so early.
Sure. Now, one guy that I think really needs, there's four more preseason games left at the time of recording this. So I think you've got to get Shipachov in at least three of those four, right? Because while he didn't play a bad game with Marchessault and Riley Smith, outside of hitting and deferring, I didn't notice him too much. So I think Shipachov needs more time to adjust to the NHL game, more time to adjust to his line mates, all that. So I would like to see him in at least two of the final four games.
I think he'll get into two of them. The only problem with that is if you want Shipachov in there, then you want Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault right on his wings, because it's useless if you've got him in there with other people. And do you want a guy like Riley Smith, who just took a puck to some part of his body that we don't know, but he got hit with a shot in San Jose. Do you want those guys out there for that long? I don't know. I think Shippy's going to be all right. I'm not that worried about it. To me, the guys that are on the bubble, the Clayton Stoners, the Lucas Spezas, the No Six, the Leipzig, Alex Tux, mm-hmm, those guys should be playing all four of these games. And I know the coaches probably won't do that for whatever. I honestly don't know why they won't, but
right,
those guys should be playing every game, and these, because we need to assess them and find out who's worth making this roster, because this isn't a case of who's going to make the roster and who's going to go down to Chicago. A lot of these guys are gone
right
if they get claimed on waivers.
Exactly.
This is their last four games as a Golden Knight for some of these guys. Probably one or two guys.
So in looking at some of the guys that have been impressive so far, the one that comes to mind is Tomas Hica. Obviously, he scored in every game. The pass on that Lindbergh goal was phenomenal.
Yes.
It was a beautiful play. Obviously, the 2-on-1 breakaway that should have been a breakaway, he fudged it, but then he got the goal.
Oh, when he went 5-hole?
Yeah, when he went 5-hole. That was good. And the best part about that was when the puck came back through the goalie's legs, out of desperation and anger, the goalie tried to swat the puck away, and he missed that one too. So it was fantastic. They can't stop the puck going in or coming out. It was great. But like, I look at Tomas Hica, and I like what he does. I really do. The speed, he's taken this opportunity, and he's really run with it, and he doesn't want to not be on the, he wants to be on this roster. He absolutely does, and he's done everything that he should do to get there. But I also look at Alex Tuck, and I like what Alex Tuck brings to the lineup without ever having to touch the puck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tuck drives, and it pushes defenses back, and it creates more time and space without even touching the puck in the offensive zone. And not to mention the fact that when he's in his defensive zone, if there's a stoppage in play, Tuck is the first guy in front of your goalie, and he defers the other team. So it's hard, because if you're trying to figure out what's going to work between those two players, which of those two guys deserve that spot, I'm torn right now, because I like what Hika's done, but I think I like Tuck's game more than Hika's.
I'm not torn. If it's between those two, give me Alex Tuck. And the reason is these two aren't fighting for a top six forward spot.
Mm-hmm.
They're fighting to be a third or fourth line winger. And I want my third and fourth line wingers to be in the mold of Alex Tuck.
Right.
Big, power forwards with a strong physical game. Hika is real, has shown that he's looks like he has a bright future.
Right.
And he could end up being a top six forward for the Golden Knights. He could be a top line winger down the road. He just doesn't fit what I want in my fourth line. When you put together a fourth line, I want something like Alex Tuck, Belmar, mm-hmm, and I don't know, maybe throw someone in there like who else would go on, like Carrier,
mm-hmm,
something like that. Just a tough physical line. Whereas right, you put Hica on there, and that's just not what he does. That's not his game. He's a second or third, maybe probably second line guy is like where his play style fits in, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure. So right now, Alex Tuch makes this team, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I absolutely think Alex Tuch has earned it. He looks good enough on the ice to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
He has 100%. He's gone above and beyond what he needed to do by coming showing up to development camp. This guy is an NHL-ready player. He mm-hmm. did not need to be at development camp
no.
at all. Shows up, basically coaches these kids, shows them how to do everything, comes to rookie camp, does the same thing. And now you see him, when they're coming out the locker room, when they're coming in going into the locker room at these yep. games, it's not one of the NHL veterans that's standing at the front of the line stick-tapping everyone as they walk onto the ice. It's mm-hmm. Alex Tuch.
Yep. Now, and that's, I'm glad that you brought that up because with him, you're right. The way that he plays the game, he can fit on a third or fourth line, but he's got the skill to play in a top six role. So
absolutely.
You can look at him as a potential on the power play. You could look at him as filling a spot, assuming, as we all do, that James Neal is traded at the deadline. That might be another opportunity for Alex Tuch later on if he's proven himself in a third-line role or a fourth-line role. The vision that he has, the ability to hold on to the puck, to manhandle NHLers in the corner
mm-hmm.
and make the right read and make the right play, that pass to Hunt was phenomenal.
Yes, it
the
was.
The shot was amazing.
He's made a bunch of good passes from mm-hmm. behind the net.
Yeah.
I feel like every time there's a pass from behind the net that comes out into the slot, I'm like, wow, who was that? Tuch again, yeah. every time. There's no question Alex Tuch is on the Golden Knights opening yeah. day roster. No way he's not on it.
Does he stick the entire season?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I really, again, like I said, I think, and it's not only the way that he plays fits what his role is going to be, it fits a Gerard Gallant team.
Mm-hmm.
It does. He works hard. He goes into the corners. He mucks it up. He'll stand in front of the net all day long on the power play if that's a role that is designed for him. And he's got leadership qualities. We talked about development camp. We talked about rookie camp. And to me, he's been better in these preseason games than he was in the rookie camp. His level of compete has gotten better mm-hmm. as the competition has risen. And that's something that I like to see too. I want to know that he's going to get better and put in the work to get better every day. And in talking to him, we know that. But in seeing it is one thing, right? So I do. I think Alex Tuch is going to make this team. I'm rooting for Alex Tuch to make this team because that's a guy that I see 3 years down the road when Cody Glass is breaking in, when Nick Suzuki's breaking in. They're going to have that comfort level with him. They're going to have that familiarity with him from all of what he's done so far. And you're looking at a future captain mm-hmm. in Alex
yeah.
Tuch.
And when I talked about Tuck's leadership that he's shown, and mm-hmm. people, I guarantee people are out there saying, this is the same guy that said we don't need leadership. That's so stupid. Leadership's pointless. I don't want some veteran. We're not even talking Jágr now. I'm talking right. any. When you were making the expansion draft picks,
right.
We don't need to bring in veterans to be leaders because they're not leading us anywhere. We're going to be in the lottery. It's stupid. You yeah. don't need a leader.
Yeah.
Where you do need leaders is guys like Alex Tuch
mm-hmm.
that are going to be leaders for this team when they are competing.
Right.
And he can grow into that role over the next 2 or 3 years. That's where you need leaders, is these young guys like Tuch, which you normally don't have.
No, absolutely.
Like, for example, Keegan Kolesar is not as good as Tuch, clearly, right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of in that same position, coming from juniors. He's played a little bit in the AHL. Or no, sorry, Kolesar hasn't, but he's about to transition mm-hmm. to the AHL.
Yeah.
They're kind of on the bubble. And you see, and Kolesar is a great speaker. The dude's hilarious when I talk to him.
Right.
But he hasn't taken control of the locker room like Tuch. It's very rare for someone that young in a room full of guys that have been doing this forever to be at the front of that line. It sounds stupid, but that's not something small, that he's the one that's standing by the boards giving fist pounds to everyone as they walk past and jump onto the ice.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right in that because I never understood expansion teams that named captains. Like I never really understood that because and you listen to, you know, George McPhee talk about it. He's like, how can we pick somebody to lead us anywhere when we don't even know what we've got? We don't even know the personalities of these players. I mean, granted, there's a reputation around the league mm-hmm. and all that, but you don't know who's going to come in and say, mm-hmm. this is my team, this is my expectation. And by all accounts, Alex Tuch has done that. And that's the beauty of this situation is you don't name a captain. You're not putting yourself in a position to have to usurp somebody or take that away or whatever. Let it happen organically. And I like the direction that it's going because you've got this gap that you need to bridge somehow. And if you can bridge that with a player like Alex Tuch, who's going to lead you presumably for the next 8 years, you know, if he pans out, if you give him a good contract, all that stuff, he could lead you for the next 8 to 10 years until it's time to move that on to somebody else. And by that time, you're already established. You have your track record of what you want to do on a day in, day out basis, and somebody else will come in to this locker room and do the things Alex Tuch did this year. And that's how you pass this stuff on. You don't just arbitrarily say, well, you know what, James Neal, he's the most veteran guy that we have. We're going to slap a C on him to sell more jerseys. You don't do that.
Yeah, no. That is another example of this team seems to do everything right on the hockey side of things. They haven't everything they do seems to be the right way. They haven't had any major mess ups. I mean, the only one that's like a tiny bit is the Mathot trade. It's like the one to me, if you're trying to nitpick what McPhee's doing. And that's just another example of it. When he said that, we're not gonna have a captain, we're gonna have a leadership group. I'm like, damn. That's the exact right answer. Yeah,
absolutely. Because again, like he said, we don't know what we have. And we'll let that happen, which is what you got to do on an expansion team because everyone outside of, you know, their hockey operations and you and me and a few other people in the media, we understand what this year is about. It's not about winning the most games.
I think the fans do too. I mean, there are a few casuals that are like just barely getting into hockey and they're like, oh, we want to win. But I think for the most part, when I talk to fans out at City National and when you hear them talking in the stands, I think the fans understand that and they're starting to and they see these young kids, it's like this team has a bright future, but and like I said, this team's gonna do better than people think. They're gonna be 5-5 in the first 10 games.
Well, that's interesting because a buddy of ours seems to think they will lose their 10th game before they win their third game.
Yeah, Mr. Ken Balke from the Sin Bin.
Yep.
I'm not that much more optimistic than he is for the whole season.
Right.
I this team's going to be bad, but I think they're going to come out of the gates hot. I think this team. Let's just pull up the schedule right now.
While you're doing that, I've got a question for you. James Neal skated. You were one of the lucky ones to capture video of it. Good job to you, by the way.
Like it's like National Geographic. Yeah. I captured live video of James Neal in the wild.
It's the rare, real deal James Neal, and he gets onto the ice and doesn't take a shot or anything. Opening day. Maybe not opening day, but home opener.
No.
No?
No.
You don't think he's there?
I don't think he's there. And there's no reason to rush him. We've talked about it a million times. He's going to get this team a first-round pick. More than likely.
Sure, yeah.
Why would you rush him back to help you, like, try to win games or whatever it is? No, he's a asset that you're trying to build up and sell. Why would you have him rush back early and possibly re-injure it or just play bad and lose value that way? They're not going to rush him. They're going to take their sweet time.
Where do you think he fits in? Mid October, early November. Where do you think that's going to fall?
It's so tough. Gary Lawless, Golden Knights insider, Gary Lawless said 2, 3, or 4 weeks.
Okay.
Was what we were told. 2, 3, or 4 weeks. So, and that was about a week ago.
Okay. All right.
I don't expect him to miss like 2 months of the season or something. So this isn't something like that. But
right now,
if it was the Stanley Cup,
he'd be playing. Absolutely.
Clearly.
Yep.
He played before the surgery.
Sure. Yeah.
Stanley Cup.
Played pretty well too.
Yeah. But no. They're not gonna rush him because there's no reason to rush him because this isn't a team that's trying to get every point they possibly can to try to battle for that spot. Know what I mean? Like okay, if we lose a couple games and he comes back and he's healthy and gets us that first round pick that we're trying to get for him, that's the best case scenario. You just don't rush it. So I got the schedule up.
Let's look at it.
Obviously, you start in Dallas. Dallas is supposed to be improved. I think Golden Knights win that game.
Really?
I think they win the game in Dallas to open the season.
How do you see them winning?
They score more goals than the Dallas Stars.
I don't know. Okay, all right, Daryl Sutter. Come on, that's ridiculous. I'm just saying, like, how do you think they're going to win that game? Do you think they're just going to jump out to an early lead because they're jacked up and Dallas is still trying to figure out Ken Hitchcock's system? Like, how do you see that going?
Well, I think neither team is going to be fully ingrained in their coach's system because obviously both coaches are new. Mm-hmm. I just think the energy around this team is different than teams that have been together forever. This team is excited. They're going to come out all jacked up. They're going to steal that first one.
Okay.
They're going to be so hyped.
Yep.
The very next day they go to Arizona and they're going to get smoke showed by the Coyotes, like
really?
Like 6-1 or something.
I could see it flipped.
I realize I'm predicting them to beat the team that's like a playoff team and then lose to the garbage Coyotes, but early in the season in the NHL or any like
a lot of weird stuff happens.
Football's the one, like, it's in its own category because you only play 16 games, so
right.
It's different. But like any sport, basketball, hockey, baseball, early in the year, it's not necessarily the best teams that win these games. It's just like circumstance.
No, that's a good point. I mean, it happened with the Columbus Blue Jackets last year, but then they just kept winning. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, so I got them 1-1. Coming back home, the home opener, Coyotes coming into T-Mobile Arena, they're going to win that game.
Golden Knights are?
Yes.
Okay.
Golden Knights are going to win that game. Yep. So they're 2-1. Detroit comes in. Detroit is terrible.
That's
3-1, Golden Knights, let's
absolutely
go.
Absolutely a winnable game.
3-1, Golden Knights. Bruins come in, smack them. That's 3-2, Golden Knights.
Okay.
Buffalo comes in, that's a win. That's 4-2, Golden Knights.
Okay.
St. Louis. Here, this is all home games, by the way, because they play seven straight home games.
Yeah.
So St. Louis, that's clearly a loss.
So 4-3.
Chicago, clearly a loss. 4-4.
Huh.
Chicago is way better than the Golden Knights. Come on, guys.
Yeah, they are.
Colorado, at home. If you can't win that one, you ain't going to win any of them. They're just... If the Golden Knights can't win that game, maybe they should just stay at home. Ari will get some guys down from the Sahara Roller Hockey Center.
Yeah.
We'll beat the Colorado Avalanche. Piece of cake. Literally not even a real hockey team.
I don't doubt that for a minute. That's how bad Colorado is. Yep.
So that's 5-4.
Yep.
And then they got a trip to New York to play the Islanders and Rangers. They'll probably lose both of those, but that's 5-5 through 10 games.
Yep. Well,
that's what I got. And then after that, every 10 games, they'll probably win two of them. It's going to be ugly, but I just think this team comes out of the gates hot.
Yeah, I see the path to go 5-5. I absolutely do. I don't disagree with much of what you said there, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they might start off well. They might start off 5 of 10 and go from there. And you know, you can't ever discount the fact that they're going to go to overtimes, mainly because they're going to have good goaltending, unless, you know, everybody wants to get on Calvin Pickard again about how he is so bad.
The hate
that
on
he,
Calvin Pickard for a preseason game.
Like, San Jose had at least four regulars. Like, at least four. And we're not talking about, like, just regulars. This is Brent Burns, Joe Pavelski, Martin Jones in the lineup. I think Matt Nieto and Chris Tierney were in the lineup, too. Like, the San Jose team that was out there was not a joke of a team. It wasn't a bunch of young guys trying to make it, like, it was more of an established roster. And if not for Calvin Pickard in that first period, that game should have been like 8-1. Like, yeah. It was bad.
No, it was the same scenario, but flipped as when the Golden Knights played the Avalanche the night before. Well, two nights before. Because the Golden Knights had almost a full NHL roster up in Colorado. And the Avs had like McKinnon and basically no one else.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, that was, if you're betting on games, like, that was an easy win on the Golden Knights because they're just looking at the rosters. The Avs are playing all their AHL and juniors guys, and the Golden Knights are bringing a full NHL roster up there. Then it got flipped because all those NHL guys took the night off. The Golden Knights sent their young team, their rookies and AHLers, to San Jose, and San Jose just happened to be playing their NHLers that night.
Exactly.
And that's why people are like getting all excited about the 9-4 win and stuff. And yeah, it's cool, and it's better than losing 9-4. If they were just getting smoked, like, that could like hurt some of the momentum. Like, it's, I'm not saying it's a bad thing that they're winning. It's better than the alternative.
Right.
But in preseason, these coaches are not trying to win these games.
No, no.
They're playing these guys. They're putting players in positions that could lead to them letting up goals, for example.
Right.
Just to see how they'll react.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought that up because, you know, in the preseason, that's when you want to be faced with some type of adversity in game. So while it's not ideal, the Golden Knights got into penalty trouble in the second and third period in Colorado. While it's not ideal, they did the exact same thing in the third game in San Jose. The coaching staff needs to know what these guys are going to do and how they're going to change that if they can. They also need to know how they're going to react on the penalty kill. And the thing that Gallant talked about after the San Jose game was how proud he was, to use a term, that the team didn't just quit going into the third period. They could have packed it in. They could have just skated out 20 minutes, played systems, dumped and chased. They could have done anything like that, but they did try to go out and win a period, and they did in fact do that. So you want to see what these players are going to do, not just when they're ahead, but what they're going to do when they're behind. How are they going to play? How are they going to find that next level of intensity? Are they going to find that next level of intensity? And if they can't, they're not NHL players.
Yeah, well, and I'm not as impressed that the guys didn't give up in the third period, because they're playing for a job, most of these guys. Right. They're like right on the bubble. Like, if you go out there, even have one lazy shift, that could be the difference in you making the Golden Knights and you being in the AHL. Like, for a guy like Leipzig, who has, in my eyes at least now, I'm not George McPhee. He's obviously knows what he's doing a lot better than I do, and he's sitting up there in his perch watching every practice. But Leipzig has not shown me any reason to put him on the NHL roster.
Right.
So a guy like that, that's, you've got now four games left and a handful of practices to prove. And like, and that bubble is big, way bigger than it is on any other NHL team.
Yeah.
Most teams have one or two guys that they're trying to decide on. The Golden Knights have like six dudes that, and they only have like two spots for them. And that's just the forwards. And then our defense is even worse.
Yeah. So, and I agree with you there. I'm not buying the "I'm proud we didn't fold" thing, but I mean that's the way that Gallant's got to spin it.
I mean, right? I understand, and he's right.
Yeah,
but the reason they're not giving up is not because, oh, let's only lose by three goals. They really don't care how many goals they win or lose
No.
They just want a job.
Yeah, absolutely. But one thing that a lot of people make a lot of noise about in hockey is chemistry. Right now, in practices, I haven't observed it too much. In games, I haven't really observed it too much. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some hiccups with players playing for the first time together. You know, Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith, they played a pretty good game together because they're familiar with each other. That's fine. But where I see chemistry being a problem is with the more talented players. Now, guys like James Neal that are specialists, that are snipers, that can shoot the puck from anywhere. And to a degree, a guy like Vadim Shipachov, who is a specialist, who likes to pass, to defer more than he does like to shoot. I don't see it having any issue or any effect on lines 2, 3, and 4, mainly because those are going to be comprised of guys that traditionally their entire career have had to slot into different places at different times on all different types of teams, all different types of lines, all that. So while a lot of people make this big thing about chemistry, I think on the Golden Knights roster, it's really going to affect 2, maybe 3 players at most.
I don't think I was impressed. The only game that we've really seen the NHLers play was the game 2 in Colorado. And the competition wasn't great that they were going against, but they looked like an NHL team. Like if you just took the jerseys off and I didn't know who I was watching, I would have thought I was watching any other. They did not look out of sorts. They when they hit the puck around the boards, there was always a guy there. When they dropped it, when they dropped the puck in, when they're entering the blue line, when they drop it off, there was a guy waiting behind them. They seemed to, they looked like every other NHL team. It didn't look like, I didn't get any feeling watching that thinking, oh man, these guys have never played together and this is going to be a problem. They looked like every other NHL team. So I honestly don't think that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think that that's the case because of what this roster is going to be comprised of. It's not comprised of guys that need to play in a certain situation to thrive or to be comfortable or whatever it is. It's guys that have been thrown up and down the lineup their entire careers, and that's helped them. And I think from just a structure standpoint, this team should be very, very well structured just because of the personnel that they have.
What do you mean?
Meaning that when you're looking at guys that are primarily in that secondary scoring to checking line role, they have to rely on their positioning, they have to rely on their structure in order to be good hockey players, in order to keep their job in the NHL. And now they're given a chance to do a little bit more, but it's always going to fall back on their ability to be in position and to play with structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the way this team is built on the back end, on the blue line.
Yeah.
I don't think any of these defenders are elite defensemen, and I don't think, I mean, there's a couple guys that might end up being elite defensemen, but right now, they're not. But, and this is something that Ken and Jason were arguing about over at Sinbin, and I actually think Jason was right. I don't think they intentionally drafted offensive defensemen in the expansion draft to win this year, but McPhee likes a fast team, and you look at Colin Miller is a winger in a defenseman's body.
Yeah,
that dude does not want to play defense. He won't stay by the blue line. The dude's coming down to like the face-off circles at some points.
Yeah. Well, what Jason was saying is he's playing so high in the zone, and he's absolutely right. It keeps the cycle going. It allows you more zone time. But the good thing with Colin Miller is he makes the right read, and he doesn't necessarily do it at the expense of the play and his positioning. Mm-hmm. He knows when to jump in, and that's something that is going to serve them well because it's going to extend their zone time and Corsi and all that stuff. But you're absolutely right. That guy, if given the opportunity to be a winger, I think he'd jump at it every chance.
And Shea Theodore, same thing.
Yep.
Shea Theodore, I have no doubt in my mind, could play a winger position in the NHL, 100%.
Yeah.
He skates well enough. He handles the puck well enough. He shoots the hell out of the puck. So you got guys like Colin Miller and Shea Theodore, which are the two young guys, which are going forward, are going to be like, those guys can put up big point numbers for defensemen later in their careers.
Yeah.
And then even guys like Jason Garrison, who's more of a veteran guy, but like I was very shocked at how involved he was in the offense just in that first preseason game.
Yeah.
He likes to shoot the puck.
He does.
And this team doesn't have those top end scores. We don't have an Evgeny Malkin that's going to score 50 goals or whatever.
Right.
You got to find other ways to get these goals. When your leading scorer is probably going to be somewhere between 30 and 40 goals, you need goals to come from other places. And I think the defense could be where they come from with just, like I said, they've got a handful of very offensive minded defensemen. Not only are they skilled on the offensive end, but they want to get involved in the offense. I think John Merrill's another guy that we haven't really talked about as an offensive defenseman, but I think John Merrill moves the puck really well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, it's funny.
And we didn't even mention Nate Schmidt.
No, and that's going to be, you know, obviously Nate Schmidt is just a completely different type of guy.
Well, you know, he's freaking insane.
He's insane, but
he's the Joker from like Dark Knight Rises.
Just,
like the dude is
chaos
crazy
and anarchy all the time with Nate Schmidt. No, I totally agree. And he's a very, very good hockey player. George McPhee trusts him. He's very comfortable with him. And Nate Schmidt is that quintessential, I want to do everything in my power to help this team win. If that's scoring goals from the blue line, it's going to be scoring goals. If it's dropping the gloves, it's not a huge part of his game, but I absolutely see him doing that. I absolutely see him in that role. Now, the defense is so interesting because we know that there are going to be 8 spots, and we've still got 12 guys under contract, somewhere in there.
13, I think, but there's really like 11 guys that you really...
So the main one for me is Shea Theodore, because I'm of the belief that Shea Theodore needs to be on this team. At the NHL level. It's also the belief of many others that Shea Theodore can be sent down to the AHL without having to clear waivers. So that makes him expendable for the time being. What's your thought?
I've been on the bandwagon of Theodore in the NHL. And mm-hmm. I still, if it was me making the decision, I keep Shea Theodore in the NHL.
Yeah.
As these weeks have gone on of training camp and preseason and just talking to George McPhee once or twice a week, I'm leaning heavily towards Shea Theodore going down to the AHL at the start of the season. I think McPhee sent him down there. He said a couple things. I don't remember exactly word for word what he said, but he said you have to weigh. He's like, because I asked him, I'm like, is it just going to be the best eight defenders on the team? And he said, well, if you want to be fair. You want to be fair to these guys, and you want to say it's going to be the best eight. But sometimes you have to weigh the long term versus the short term. So basically what he's saying is Shea Theodore is one of the best eight, but he's not going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Theodore starts in the AHL, and this is hockey.
Yeah.
We have played two preseason games. There's already been like two injuries, Reed Duke and Riley Smith, which is a very small one. But
mm-hmm.
And then you've got other guys that were recovering, LeCision and guys like that are recovering from off-season injuries. There's going to be injuries quickly, and Shea Theodore is on the first flight from Chicago to Vegas the second anyone gets hurt. I even think if a forward gets hurt,
yeah,
you still bring him up.
Sure. So I'm having a hard time in my mind thinking about a team that could actually go with Luca Spezza over Shea Theodore.
See, that's the thing. That's why I said if it's my choice, mm-hmm. I'm keeping Shea Theodore, and this right. is why. No one cares about this year. I don't care what happens this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for 3 years from now.
Yeah.
The whole cup and six thing, yeah, we're looking for 6 years. But to me, in 3 years, this team can compete for a playoff spot.
Yep.
So I'm looking at 3 years from now. And what's more valuable to this team? Is it a guy like Clayton Stoner that there's no way in hell he's on this team in 3 years? There's no way, right?
No.
There's no way Clayton Stoner's on this team in 3 years.
I don't know that he belongs on this team this year.
Yeah. So you send Shea Theodore down to the AHL in order to not lose a guy like Clayton Stoner on waivers. So what helps this team in year three more? Having Clayton Stoner this year? Or giving Shea Theodore 82 games of NHL action?
Shea Theodore.
It's not even close.
No, it's not. It's not. Because whatever asset you get from Clayton Stoner, which isn't going to be much,
yeah, a sixth round pick.
Or Luca Spezza isn't going to be much, is not going to make up for an extra year of seasoning for Shea Theodore in this league. It's just simply not.
I could not agree more. I like I said, but he's going to the AHL. I'm almost positive from if the only way he maybe doesn't go down to the AHL is if he just lights it up and scores like three goals in these last four preseason games, which obviously isn't going to happen.
Yeah. That's tough.
So, I think he's sending him down because McPhee, the thing is McPhee, this is like his little project, and he got all these players from the expansion draft, and I can see why he doesn't want to lose any of them on waivers. It's like, man, I got this guy from this team, and if I lose him on waivers, I just wasted that pick. I could have gotten something else. I could have done, know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
So I see why he doesn't want to lose him, but long term, I think developing your superstar defenseman, that's what you want. That's mm-hmm. that's if you're George McPhee, Shea Theodore is your superstar defenseman. He's the guy that quarterbacks this team's power play on the way to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Right, right. And then 3 years from now has advice and can help bring along a youngster like Eric Brännström
mm-hmm.
or Rasmus Dahlin.
Woo!
Wouldn't
Don't
that
get
be
me
something?
Started on that.
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, man.
That's
if the Golden Knights get Rasmus Dahlin, we might have to stop this podcast. Like, you guys are going to be so sick of hearing me talk about him. We can't even, don't even get me on that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, how many full games of Rasmus Dahlin have I watched? That number would be zero.
Right,
I've watched a total
right.
of zero of his games. So take this with a grain of salt. I've watched YouTube highlight videos and YouTube scouting reports, which show like positive and negative mm-hmm. plays. That's yeah. all I've watched. But what I have watched,
yep.
I like me some Rasmus Dahl. That dude is sick.
So I figure we'll end the show today after, talking a lot about the hockey and a lot about what's been going on and which guys we like, which guys we think will be here come October 6th and beyond. Let's talk about Cox.
Oh.
Where are we at?
Yeah, man. I'm so just, it's like fatigue.
Is it hard? It's got
to
be hard.
Is it bad to say, like, I'm just fatigued from Cox?
That's about, that's easily the worst thing you've ever said on this podcast. Like, I think
this whole thing is, and okay, so let's talk about the disaster that was the first preseason game.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I have no idea because I was so consumed with the radio side of things that I honestly didn't pay much attention to the game from a television perspective. But please tell me about that.
Okay, so here's the deal. We've been telling everyone for months, if you have Cox, you can't watch the games.
Right.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
That was the case.
Right.
But the people at Cox got confused, saw that the game was going to air on NHL Network, sent out a press release, not a tweet, not a Facebook, a press release to all members of the media, me, Steve Karp, everyone, saying, good news. You guys are going to, this is like an hour before puck drop. Good news. Vegas fans can watch the Golden Knights on NHL Network. As soon as I get the press release, I immediately called them.
Yep.
And was like, are you sure it's not blackout?
Mm-hmm.
That's not, the blackout doesn't apply to that? And they're no,
it's all good.
They're like, no, they can watch. I'm like, all right, cool. Well, does fall under blackout rules. So people with Cox Cable were not able to watch the game, which was no surprise up until an hour before when they said that. That was the only reason. So if they never would have sent that press release, then there was no, it was, you just can't watch it.
Sure.
But that kind of confused people. So to be clear, if you have Cox Cable, you can still only watch five games. They have five games on NBC Sports Network. That's
right.
That does include the October 10th home opener. Now, as far as DirecTV goes, it was on, it, again, people were confused because they went to NHL Network.
Right.
But anytime the game is locally broadcast, like it was on AT&T Sportsnet, you can't watch it on NHL Network, so that was blacked out. So then you go over to AT&T Sportsnet, and it's blacked out there, too.
No way. Oh.
Now, that was not the Golden Knights' fault.
Okay.
And from what I'm told, it was not AT&T Sportsnet's fault. It was a technical, like, malfunction on DirecTV's side.
Oh,
the game should, the game, this wasn't like, this wasn't one of those things where, like, oh, you're blacked out, you're screwed. No, it wasn't supposed to be blacked out.
Right.
And I even talked to multiple people that called DirecTV, and DirecTV reset their cable, their not cable box, their DirecTV box remotely from wherever the hell they are. And when it reset, they got the game.
Oh, wow.
So it was just a matter of probably because this is a new channel that hasn't been on DirecTV very long. I don't know. There was something, maybe someone, when they were coding it in, put the wrong number where they weren't supposed to, and it showed just that it was blacked out when it wasn't. Yeah. So So if you have DirecTV and it was blacked out and people were freaking out with good reason.
Yeah.
If you have DirecTV and it was blacked out, that's not something that's going to happen in the future. That was purely a technical malfunction on DirecTV side of things. That you will get all the games that are televised on AT&T Sportsnet. You don't have to worry about them being blacked out.
That's beautiful. That's really, oh man, I'm so glad that I didn't pay that much attention to the television broadcast and that I was more focused on the radio broadcast, because that would have just probably had my head exploding.
Yeah,
like absolutely, just everything.
The plus side is, it's freaking preseason hockey. None of those guys that were playing are going to be on the roster this year. Just get it figured out by October 6th.
Right.
And I know all the signs around town say the battle begins October 10th. We'll be golden October 10th, whatever the hell their sayings are. The season starts October 6th, guys.
Yeah.
We've got two games before October 10th. Hopefully the players know this. I don't know. I'm not sure if they're aware. They do have two games before October 10th. So,
Are you saying they're not starting at home? That's weird. That's weird.
So as long as the TV gets sorted out by then. Oh, and by the way, let's a little positive on the TV side of things. I like to throw a little positive spices on all my negativity when it comes to Golden Knights TV situation. The broadcast was spectacular.
Yeah.
absolute for the first time any of these guys worked together, the first time any for any Golden Knights game, all the graphics looked slick, looked way better than Fox Sports. I'm used to watching the Kings the last couple years. AT&T Sportsnet kicked the crap out of Fox Sports.
Yeah.
As far as graphics go, as far as presentation goes.
How was the call? Yeah. Was it good?
Gautier?
Gosher.
Knighty and Gosher were great.
Yeah.
And it's the first game they've ever worked together. And I was talking to Knighty in the locker room the other day, and he said, yeah, I mean, we're still learning each other. It's only going to get better from here. And he was telling me, I was talking to him about, like, man, these graphics look great. And I guess he came from Sportsnet in Canada. And he's like, I brought over a lot of things. A lot of people from Sportsnet were using a lot of the things they do. Great job. We just got to get it to where people can see this.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Once everyone can see it, it's golden, because that broadcast was very good. I was impressed.
Like, do you think just from a broadcast aspect alone, that'll convert fans because of how well put together it was?
I don't think anyone's going to be like, man, this is like, now I'm going to watch hockey. But I think a bad broadcast can turn
them off,
people off of the game. Like that Avs preseason game. Now it's preseason, so I'm going to give those broadcasters a little break. And everyone's saying, oh, they do that all the time, but I'm going to give them a break, because that's just how sports in preseason work. Right. They're not, these guys wouldn't call the action, though, and it was driving me crazy. They were like literally having a 55-minute conversation with Joe Sakic while the game was going on. I have no idea what's happening. Luckily, I know the players, but if I didn't know who each individual player was based on their jersey number, I would have no idea what was happening. No. The Golden Knights broadcast crew was good, and like I said, I don't think a good crew is going to make fans, but a bad crew can ruin it for someone that's just giving hockey a try, and they're like, what is this? This is amateur hour.
You don't need 55 minutes with Joe Sakic. Why does this team suck? Answer that question. Yeah. Why aren't you doing your job? Answer that question. Done. That's it. That's all you need to do. Yeah. Two questions. Why do they suck? Why aren't you doing your job? Yeah, you know, I haven't met Gosher yet. I did meet Knighty the other day, and he's awesome. He's really fun to talk to, not just about the hockey stuff, but about everything in general, broadcasting, whatever. And then Gosher, the first time that I haven't met him personally, but I interacted with him, I guess, at the City National Arena ribbon cutting, the grand opening of the facility, and he was the MC, and pretty engaging, very engaging guy. You know, that I'll tell you what, man. My takeaway from that whole thing, the ribbon cutting, all of it. I looked at Murray Craven, who was not on the ice, not in a jersey, didn't address the media. And I thought to myself, why is that happening? Why isn't Murray Craven a part of this? But there's Steve Sisolak talking.
Yeah, my guess would be Murray just doesn't. He's just over it. Yeah. All the public appearances. That would be my guess. Because obviously that building is, he was the mastermind behind it. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, Murray Craven story. When he got on the ice, were you there when he got on the ice?
Well, which the first
it was
time?
It was on the B rink. No,
he got on the ice.
So they were over on the B rink. It was the first day of rookie camp.
Okay.
And the veterans snuck over to the B rink to just get a skate in.
Okay.
And I go over there, and Murray Craven with he had a Flyers helmet on. He had San Jose Sharks pants on. And he had a Golden Knights practice jersey. And he got out there on the ice. And if I wouldn't have told you, hey, there's Murray Craven, he's 20 years older than every one of these guys, you would have never known.
Really?
He was skating around there with him. He was shooting on Marc-Andre Fleury. It was so awesome. Murray Craven's so cool.
Hey, he's the coolest guy.
Yeah. So he got out there on the ice. But anyways, as far as him not being on the ice and not being in a jersey during that really cool, that awesome celebration.
You know, it was awesome for me, because I got to walk out onto the ice.
That's cool.
In street shoes. So I you know, that was fun. And it was one of those moments where I thought back to when I was a kid playing hockey, and like my dad would be the coach on the bench, but like he didn't have any hockey experience. He just got a Letterman jacket and stood behind the bench and told me like what I was doing wrong out there, you know? But at the end of the game, at the end of every game, we would do the handshake line as a kid, right? So that was coaches as well. So my dad, every single game, had to walk out onto the ice in his in his street attire and his shoes and walk through the line and give these kids handshakes. Now, my dad never skated. He was never – never played a game of hockey in his life, never got on the ice, never skated. And I just I remember in that moment being out on the ice walking. I'm like, this is the terror that my dad felt every single game that I played.
So you weren't on a – like carpet? You were just walking on the ice?
Well, so I got out onto the ice on the carpet, but I was getting sound for Fox Sports. So I had to go out. And this was another thing that kind of blew my mind, because when I walked out originally, they had the malt box for the audio on the carpet, which makes sense. It's electronics. You don't want it on the ice because it heats up. There's electricity going through it.
Yeah.
Well, they put it on the ice. They moved it from the carpet out into the middle of the ice. Wonderful. on the middle of the blue line. So I helped Sage actually kind of bring it from one place to the other place. And then I just had to walk out there and plug my cables in to the mold box on the ice.
Someone fell. They had what's his name from the D? Derek Stevens. They had him do the ceremonial puck drop at UNLV hockey's first game.
Okay.
So they had two players like literally like put him on their shoulders and skate him out to center ice.
No way.
But then this poor girl is like following. She's like the photographer. She's going to take a picture of it with her like phone. She didn't even have like a real camera. And she like runs out there and then tries to stop. And you know how this ends. She slips backwards and lands right on her ass.
Oh my God.
It was, and like there's like 1,000 people just watching, like, oh, everyone, that was no good.
Yeah, that's for me, it was fun just because I got to walk out onto the ice. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'd like to skate there next. That's my next goal. But that was a good day. It was a good day for me, if only because I was on the ice. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not make it out there for that. I regrettably was not there for.
I missed you. I saw Ken. I saw Frank Harnish and Clayton Hamilton and all those guys. Yeah, and
not me.
Not Jesse Granger. It's okay though.
I've been at almost everything, every practice, all the hockey stuff. Man, I got to get the hockey stuff. That's what I'm here for.
I hear you, bud. So that'll wrap up today's edition of the Rink Rats. We will be back next week talking more Golden Knights hockey. Obviously, we'll have some more preseason games to dissect. We'll have more players that we really can't believe are going to be on the roster ahead of Shea Theodore. And more than likely, we won't have any grand openings or anything like that to cover, so it'll just strictly be hockey. And then maybe, just maybe, wishful thinking, we will have a television deal worked out on Cox so that everybody in the Valley that wants to watch Golden Knights hockey can very easily and seamlessly do so.
Here's hoping.
So again, Ryan the Hockey Guy. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Hockey Guy. Jesse, where can people find you?
@JesseGranger_.
All right. Have a good week, guys. We'll see you next week.
Peace.